Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armelin.
Able to say that as a... We're talking about and, not or. You guys do it again for me. We're talking about...
And, not or.
Awesome. We're talking about different tensions in the Bible and have been really focusing... I'm going to do a quick review just to kind of... I feel like I'm going to shift directions in August, but still talking about and, not or. And I feel that God really has had us focused on the idea of love and faith and works and grace, and it's super important. And the more I study it and the more I begin to read the Word, really trying to understand what were these letters being written about? Who are they being written to? And you can see how love is the topic, and he's trying to help them through situations and understanding love. But let me ask you a question first before we do a quick review. John 3:16, go ahead and share it. Let's stop. For God so loved the world. Who? What? Which people? You tell me. So just the cosmos, the stars, the sun? People? Which people?
Everyone.
We sure we believe? So think through that. Everyone. Yes? God so loved everyone? Okay. God so loved. I want you to put your biggest pet peeve in there. That could be your biggest pet peeve. Could be Trudeau. Ooh, touching toes now. I'm just saying, I think sometimes we could read that and we can go after it based on Bible times, but then we fast forward into today and we say it, but do we always believe it? God so loved the world. It's interesting when I think of that, and sometimes I think of, we look at the filth that's around today. We'll say filth, we'll say immorality, all of it. You know, abortion obviously is a huge topic right now, all that. And yet we have to go back to God so loved the world, and he demonstrated it not just on the cross by dying it, but you know how else he demonstrated it? The moment before he was about to die, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Man, it's one thing to die for somebody's sin, and I think that's unbelievable, and nobody's ever done that to this day that could take away sin. But to forgive them before he goes and just models that, incredible. The God of the universe kneels, and takes off his garment and washes his disciples' feet. Their feet have been walking in dung, and he models it. God so loved the world. And we have to keep that in mind as we continue to go after walking like Jesus. We have to remember these things because we can get caught up in thinking that he loves Christians or he loves good people. God so loved the world, right? Tell your neighbor, God so loved the world. You think of the worst possible person, God so loved the world. Now, I'm not saying that they go to heaven. I'm saying that he loves them. We have got to differentiate between that. God's love does not mean we just go to heaven. It is a choice that we make based on receiving the sacrifice, but it doesn't mean God doesn't love us. Think of parenting. Have you ever given your kids options based on love and they still choose to make the wrong decision? If you're a parent, say yes. If not, come see me afterwards and you can parent a course for me and teach me how to do it, because every kid makes a bad choice. I made bad choices, but a good parent doesn't stop loving, but it does mean they made a bad choice, right? Okay. So we started the sermon, just to go back, the series. We've been talking about, if you're new here, or you're just joining us, we've been talking about, like a bridge, the pillars on either side of a suspension bridge, that those pillars carry the weight of a suspension bridge, and without one of those pillars, that bridge does not stay up. It is the tension that is needed. You take away one of those pillars, and we're in trouble, right? Just work with me. Yes, shake your head. Yes, we need that tension. The first week, I talked about the fact that in the Old Testament, It was based on love God with all your heart and love your neighbor, but really they focused on loving God. But there is this tension that we need to have of loving God and loving people. But then I brought out the fact that in the New Testament, Jesus goes as far as saying, listen, if you bring your gift to me and you have an ought with a brother, so the gift is bringing your praise to God. But listen, that gift is not good enough if you have an ought with a brother. So he said, go make it right first before you bring your gift. And he brought this tension back to both these things are important. Even to the point of getting this right is just as important, if not sometimes more important than just coming and worshiping. Why? Because we can come and worship and we can do the routine. We can sing the loudest in the room and still have such darkness and ugliness in our hearts that God's like, this is really not that good because you hate your brothers and sisters. Okay, turn your Bibles. Let's just add to that. Let's turn your Bibles to John. You guys with me? John 3. 1 John. Thank you. 1 John. First John chapter 2. Verse 3 says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and that truth is not in him. And the commandment that he went after is, love your neighbor as, not as you love yourself. He actually upped it before he died and says, go and love people as I have loved you. He modeled it, and now he says, go do the same. Problem with loving people as ourselves, a lot of times we don't love very well, do we? We don't love ourselves very well. How do you love somebody else more than you love yourself if you can't love yourself? So he says, love as I have loved. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk just as we walked. Just to sum it up, he goes on in different parts. I'm going to have a hard time speaking today. Different parts, he sums up the fact that you can't love God and hate your brother. It's impossible. He literally says that. How can you love me but hate your brother? And so we brought the first week the fact that loving God is also about loving people, loving your neighbor. You with me? We also talked about the fact that we have the pillars of grace and truth. I brought the fact that it says God is love, but in 1 John it says Jesus is full of grace and full of truth. And if God is love, therefore God is grace, God is truth. And I said that these are the pillars that make the bridge of love. And we have to walk with grace and truth. And then we talked about the fact that we need faith and works. James would say, hey, you know, you say you have faith, I have works. I said, I'll show you my faith by my works. All right, so that's where we've been at. Let's just stop and pray for a second so I can get my thoughts. Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, as I bring this message, I pray that, Father God, that we would hear your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have communion? Did that get passed out? If you don't have, we're going to do communion at some point. I'm going to need one. I want you to actually have it in front of you. Did anybody not get communion when they walked in? Raise your hand. Got one, and I'll need one as well. So they're going to pass that out. What I'd like you to do is put your communion close by. I want to talk to you about another aspect of love or another example, and I think what's big on my heart right now is bringing the foundation back to some of the things. I've talked to you before about this, so big on the aspect of love because love seems to be absent a lot from the church. The very thing, what did Jesus say? He said, love as I have loved you. By this love, they will know you are my disciples. By this love, they will know you are my disciples. Turn to your neighbor and say, by this love, they will know you are my disciples. What love? The love that Jesus loved. The love that Jesus loved. We're going to take communion today. And what I'd like to do is have that in front of you before we take it. We're going to have it, and we're going to take it at the very end. We're going to look at it throughout the whole thing. How many of you have ever had a tradition that your family does every year, and you're not quite sure why? One hand. Anybody else, you do like the weirdest thing for Christmas, and you have no clue why, you just do it. I guess we do. My daughter's raising her hand. Curious to see what that is. Oh, we do. Which one are you referring to? Yeah, we have several. Oh, yes, we sleep under, or not under, we say under, but we sleep by the Christmas tree every Christmas Eve. It was something that Kristen and I started before we ever had kids. We had we noticed that we had traditions from both our families, and we thought, what's a tradition we could do? So we started that, not thinking it would be a lifelong tradition, but now we sleep under the tree every year. The kids are like, let's pull our mattresses down. At some point, I think they're going to, I usually think they're going to be like, no, not this year, but every year, pull them down. Okay. It's not really we don't know why, we just started it. But there are some things we have no clue why. We really have lost the understanding of why we do what we do. Hold on. Achoo! Who said bless you? Exactly. That's a tradition we don't even know why. It was fake. Pretty good though, eh? Does anybody have a clue of why we say bless you? Let me help you if you don't. There's a few theories out there. One of the theories was, there's actually a couple. One of them is really funny. But one of the most common things is when you sneeze, they believed an evil spirit was leaving you. So because the evil spirit was leaving you, they said, bless you, so it would cover you. Do you know why you sneeze? You get a sniffle, a little tickle, and you sneeze. But it's interesting, back in the day, they had no clue, like, breath is leaving, bless you. There's another one that's really funny. They thought, this is true, it's a myth, but for a while it had ground. They said when you sneezed, your heart stopped for a second, so they said, bless you, to get your heart working again. Like, who came up with that? Now, all that being said, don't stop saying it, because it's probably one of the only times you get to bless people that aren't Christians. Right? Hush-oh, let me lay hands on you, bro. But you honestly get to go, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless everyone here, everybody sneeze. But it's interesting, we do things and we don't even know why at times. I want to look, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians, I'm going to focus here. Kind of what I want to do today is just tie all this together. We're talking about love, we're talking about faith and works, and I'm convinced that most of the stories that we read, or most of the letters that we read, are letters to try to help the church figure out what love looks like. Now, let me give you a bit of background. You're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And we're going to pick it up at verse 17. You know what's super, super interesting? We live in a day and age where people are crying out, going, the world is so immoral. Now, it is. It is. But did you know, it was way more immoral back in the day when they were trying to launch churches? Corinth, this is what we're going to look at. The church of Corinth is in the city of Corinth. They have a temple high up to Aphrodite. 1,000 priestesses who actually were prostitutes. And it was common to go up there to, in their religion, to form sexual acts, and that was part of their religion. You're like, what? I'm serious. Corinth had a slew of different religions and teachings all mixed together. They had rich people and poor people. They had slaves. They had interesting things where they would, not Jewish culture, but they would sacrifice, because a lot of different religions had sacrifices. They would sacrifice, and then part of it would go to the god, part of it would go to whoever was doing the sacrifice, and the other part could be sold in the market. And they're going, so some of the things that are written in this book, they're like, so what do we do with this problem where I'm going to go to my friends to eat, but I don't know if that's food dedicated, and we just bought something that was dedicated to an idol. Imagine trying to work through that problem. Because Paul's getting these questions. Corinth, the book of Corinthians, is simply the leaders of the church going, we have a lot of issues. Can you help us through? We have to know the context. Because that's what they're trying to do. Okay, well, let's look through this. Because they're like, we don't know if we should eat this meat, not eat this meat. Do we go to these festivals? Because they're not only are they a pagan festival, but it's also now one of those things that everybody celebrates, and if we stay home. So they have all these questions. And I want to pick up your attention to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. He's going through all these different questions, and he gets to this thing. Now, our Bibles, you probably have one, is conduct at the Lord's Supper. Now, I want to read this through, and what we're going to do is we're going to take away all the titles that cause us to stop reading. Because a lot of times, I've told you this, we put in these titles that can be helpful. That title is actually a good place to have a break, because in verse 17, it says, now, in giving these instructions, so it's literally we just covered one topic, now in this new topic. And so that's okay to have that little break there. But later on, I don't want to have any breaks. We're going to read this from beginning to end, and then we're going to talk about it. It says, I'll try to, because I'll probably interrupt myself. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better nor for the worse. So at some point, obviously, he did praise them. But now he's like, this isn't going to work. I got to not praise you for this. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I, in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. So let me just stop and break that apart. I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's no way. There's too many things to break apart. What he's basically saying is, hey, you're getting together, and there are divisions and factions and schisms among you. And he says, how does he say it? I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. He's like, I've heard these rumors, and I kind of believe it, because I've been hearing things about your church. And he's going to go on to talk about, what does this look like? Why is this a problem? He's going to talk about the Lord's Supper. One thing I need you to understand is, with the Lord's Supper, they did not come together just to do what we're about to do. This is like the really quick version of the Lord's Supper. We're going to take the body and the blood, but we need to understand they had these things, did a lot of research, called agape feasts, love feasts. It's not a bad thing. It was a good thing. We call them potlucks. Oh, everybody brings something. We're going to break bread together, and we're going to honor the Lord. So we've really brought this low. I'd be like, okay, let's do communion. Potluck. Nobody else with me on that? I guess I'm hungry. All right. So they're having these things called love feasts. They're bringing their food together, and they're going to celebrate. They have an issue that we're trying to find out about. It says in verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? That's right there. Don't you love it? Paul, back in the day, is like, what? What is he saying? He's like, okay, so this is the question. This is what I'm hearing. You all come together. You're supposed to be having the Lord's Supper, but what you're doing is people are getting there, and they're rushing, and they're taking the food, and somebody eats and gets really, really full, and somebody drinks and gets really, really drunk. He's like, what? It brings me great comfort. When I have some issues in the church and I go, what? And I'm like, Paul's going, what? Because why? There will be issues forever. Church, do you realize that if we do what we're called to do, there will always be new people in here that have no clue of what we're doing? I'm gonna try that over here. Let's see. Do you realize if we do what we're called to do, there will always be new people in here that have no clue of what we're doing? We have so much Christian lingo. They'll be like, what are you talking about? It doesn't mean that we stop talking and understanding it, but we have to realize there are some people that'll be like, you guys sing a lot about the blood, kind of creeps me out. Oh, well, here, let's sit down and have coffee. I'll help you understand why the blood is so important to us. Because, like, do you guys do sacrifices and cult practices? See, we think that's odd because we've been in the church for so long, but if you've never been in the church and you're singing a song over and over again about the blood, they're like, what is going on? That's why we have to help people understand. We have a situation in Corinth. I told you, it's an immoral city. They're very smart, but there's also slaves. It is a mixed crowd. They're coming from all these different religions. They've been up to do temple prostitution. And he's like, let's make a church out of these people. Sounds like a great idea. So he gets them together and he's hearing these reports. He's like, we got to solve this. But I want you to follow the vein of love that is supposed to be running through here. What is basically happening is you have wealthy people that are bringing a lot of food. And we're going to learn this in a second. They are not even waiting for other people. They're rushing to get their food. They're literally not even waiting to do the Lord's Supper properly. And other people that, you got to remember, this could be their biggest meal of the week or the month. And they're not even waiting. They're rushing in there. So he's like, well, how can one person not have enough at the very end, but one person goes home drunk? How can one person have a completely full stomach and somebody else didn't get any food? Have you ever been at a line and you're watching and you're in the back of the line? It's not moving because there's somebody in the front piling on the food. And then you get up there and there's nothing left. How many of you go, oh, praise the Lord, I'm so happy that person's full? Like Len this morning, he's like, dude, I didn't even get a brownie. I'm like, Len, you need four brownies because you did such, he did an amazing job, didn't he? Len and Scott, thank you so much. Who else? Bruce. Oh, yes, he was making a dunk tank. Bruce, thank you so much for cooking. They didn't get any brownies because they were so hardworking, right? Anyway, let's keep reading. Just get out of this moment. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? He's like, for Pete's sake, go home and eat before you come. Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. He's like, what do you want me to say? Well done? I can't. Because there are people, by the way, their church is being built up by rich and poor. They have slaves and freedmen that have been released from slavery that have nothing. So they come together. And what's he trying to get at? Well, if we look through the eyes of love, he's saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Our commandment is to love. We have faith and we have works. And when you run into the line, are you not looking around to see the needs of people around you? Are you not watching what's going on? It's a simple message. But church, I feel like sometimes we're going for the gusto. We're going for such big revelation. I've told you this. And I'm like, that foundation of love is not even there. Why do I know this? Because he's writing this to the church of Corinth. They have seen miracles by Paul's hands. But what does he go back to? He's going back to, whoa, 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 foundation is love. Because he goes into, remember, there are no chapters, there are no verses. He talks about this, and then he's going to go into spiritual gifts because they're getting all puffed up because they've gotten a gift, and now they want to show their gift. And he's like, no, 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 no. That's not how we do it. But then he goes into what we call 1 Corinthians 13. Let me tell you what love is. We say it at a wedding, right? But no, no, no. Love does not puff up. Love does not boast. What good is it if you could do all this, but you're a clanging cymbal? He literally goes in 1 Corinthians, you could be burned at the stake, but if you don't have love, what's the point? Whew. You guys still with me? Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. By the way, there is no division. He keeps talking. He says, I do not praise you, for I received from the Lord. Some of you may have a title that makes you think this is a new section. One section. Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Aren't you thankful that he died, his blood was shed, and we have a new covenant? Oh my goodness. If you are not, try to go back and listen to the series on covenants. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, again, we have this break here. And what I want to do over the next few minutes is just share, did you know that there are multiple revelations even on the same verses? Yes. If you did not know that, Jesus can take something and write it. And as you grow in the Lord, you're like, oh, look at that. Oh my gosh, look at this. Oh my gosh, look at this. There are levels of depths of truth. Often we go, examine yourself. And we're going to talk about this. Verse 27, take that out and let's just keep reading. So where do we start? Hey, you're coming together. You're not waiting. You're not doing the Lord's Supper. You are not looking after your friends. There are people that are starving and you're eating way too much. They're going home empty. You're going home back to a full house with a full pantry. They have nothing. What is going on? You got it? Okay. Then he says, therefore, who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So base level is this. He just went through that. He's talking about what they're doing. He's like, hey, examine your hearts here. Examine your hearts. What are you doing? That's the ground level. This is love of going. Our whole foundation of Christianity is love. Examine your heart. You just walked in here and you ate more than the person that was starving and you can go back and have all the food you want. Examine your heart. A lot of times we look at that word and we think, this is what we think. The church got caught up for a while. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So what the church got caught up in is that we thought we had to come and be perfect before the Lord before we could take communion in our own strength. What is the point of the new covenant if you do that? Now, thank God for the new covenant. Thank God for the new covenant, because you can go and say, Lord, I am a mess. That's what he's trying to tell these people. You are a mess. You need to, first of all, get right and get your actions right. But he takes it back to the cross and the covenant of going, you need to understand what this whole thing is about, but I need you to understand you will never be worthy enough to take communion. If you today hold this and you go, do you not know what my life is like? I cannot take this. That's the point of the cross. That is the point of the cross. And the cool and most powerful thing is that in this and in Jesus and in his body is the ability to walk away from the things that hinder us. Still following me? Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak, sick among you, and many sleep. Now, I'm going to throw something that may be hard for you or shock you, but I think this is one of those and moments. The deeper revelation that we walk in is this, and this is a pillar. The deeper revelation is that when you take communion and you take the life of Jesus, he wants to protect you. And Pastor Gary did this a couple weeks ago. He wants to be your protection. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be all that. Correct? Amen. Amen. That is the whole point of the blood and the body of Jesus. But there's another pillar over here. It says, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I'm going to go back to ground level here. Not discerning the Lord's body. This is what I believe part of what he's saying on the base level. They're all coming together for a meal. They're all coming to take the Lord's Supper. And he's saying, there are some literally that are sick among you, that are weak and that are dying. And what do you do as wealthy that have food? What do you do that are healthy, What do you do that are, you know, you've already got the revelation, you are already studying, you're mature, you rush in to get to the line first. Are you not discerning the Lord's body? Are you not looking around to see how people are? Are you not aware of your brother and sister that are in turmoil? Are you not aware of all these things? What it does for me, it makes me go, Lord, I'll be honest. I am in a season of going, Lord, I've spent so much time honoring and worshiping you. I have learned how to worship. I have grown so much in learning how to praise the Lord, trying to lead people into praising the Lord. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna feel really, really bad if we can learn to lead people into the worship, learn to lead people into the presence of God, but at the end of the day, we look around and don't even see each other's needs. I think somehow we miss it if that's the case. If I can be on my face before God and get up and not even see somebody is broken and hurting near me, what was that all about? Is anybody with me? Like, I want to be able to do both. That's why I say and. People are like, are you going way over here? No, I want to do both well. I want to be able to get into the presence of God because if I do that well and examine my heart and let him deal with me, not deal with me in a bad way, expose things, I should then be able to go, look at all the needs around me. How many have ever said this besides me? Hey, man, I'll pray for you. And walked away. And even forgot to pray. Anybody else want to at least admit that you've said, I'll pray for you, and you forgot? You know, we live in a day and age, we can say something and walk away and forget because there's like four more things that are going to bombard us. I've literally sat at night and went, oh my goodness, somebody told me they had a prayer intention. What was that? But here's even worse. If somebody tells me a need that I know somehow I can at least help meet if it stirs in my life and I walk away and don't even help meet it. I think sometimes it's so easy to say, hey, remember hearing Joyce Myers talk about this? She was convicted. She was getting a haircut and somebody was saying about a need that they had in the next chair. And she listened and she might have even said, hey, I'll pray for your need, and went home. If I remember correctly, it has something to do with a bed. She went home and realized when she got home, even knowing this, she's like, I got like three mattresses in my basement and a bed frame. But what was my answer to her? Hey, I'll pray for you. And she realized that's not what God was looking for in that moment. God was looking for somebody to meet the need. Come on, church, you with me? A lot of times we get caught up in just loving Jesus through worship and praising him, and that is needed and must. But man, if it doesn't come out of action, if there's something that doesn't come out of it, what are we doing? So he's got this thing and he's like, you can't discern the Lord's body for this reason. There are many weak and sick among you and many asleep or dead. I really believe, again, that level is you're not seeing that people are sick because they're malnourished. People are sick because they don't have food, they don't have nutrients, and you run in and you take the Lord's Supper trying to be all holy, you're going home with a full belly and a lot of wine, and these people are dying. So he's like, we got to fix this, church. Now, I am so thankful that he's writing a letter to the church who he calls, hey, saints, turn to your neighbor and say, you're a saint. At no point he's like, oh man, I'm done with this church. No, Paul's like, these are my saints. I birthed this church. These are my brothers and sisters, but we just got to get some things in order. I feel like right now, this is a season in the body of Christ where he's like, we got to get some things in order because we are not showing the world our love. I personally think the world was more corrupt back in the day when Jesus and the disciples were trying to plant churches. But here's our challenge. We're in a postmodern society. There are so many people out there that have no idea. They Moses and, you know, Noah, the only concept they have of these are movies put out by Hollywood that are so far-fetched. Like, I don't know, I was watching the movie about Noah and then there were like rock monsters. Anybody see that one? I'm like, rock monsters, did I miss something? Is there a chapter I totally missed on this? But that's their understanding, and it's so flawed, if they've even watched it. Here's our challenge today. Many have been in the church, or have been a part of a church, or have heard about a church, or have heard about a scandal in a church, or have heard about brokenness in the church. So we not only have immorality at a rampant rate, we not only have all these things, but we also have stories that people go, I don't want to go to church. So what's the cure? The church being the church. What it doesn't mean is that we'll be perfect. But what it does mean is that we have to have a whole lot of love and grace and discern the body around us. This whole cancel culture thing has got to stop. And we got to lead the way. Aren't you thankful, by the way, if Jesus lived in cancel culture, you would not have a Bible. I'll try that again. If Jesus lived if God lived in a cancel culture mindset, you wouldn't have a Bible. Why? Read the stories of the Bible and the mistakes that they made. Read David. Like, we read Proverbs, who was written by Solomon, who was the wisest on the earth and had all the right things to say, and in the end ended up falling away from it. Did God go, well, let's take that out of the Bible? Bible wasn't even written at that point. He was still writing the words. He's like, no, these are still good words. Solomon was a good man who had some bad choices at the end of his life. Peter denies Jesus. Aren't you thankful? He's like, oh, that he's out. Next. Seriously, aren't you thankful that we can still sometimes err and he goes, hey, you have some brokenness in you. Let's get you healed. That's why when Jesus is resurrected and comes and they see, Peter sees him on the shore. And I always think this is funny. He does the opposite. He doesn't take off his clothes to jump in the water. He puts everything back on and jumps in the water. I never understood that other than he's like, oh my God, there's Jesus. Puts his clothes back on and jumps in. But what does Jesus say to him 3 times? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Every time Peter's like, yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. And he keeps saying, hey, feed my sheep. God, I'm so thankful that he didn't cancel him. He put him right back into place and said, hey, I know you messed up, but do you love me? Yes, I do. Go feed my sheep. I think every time he was saying that, that pain and shame was being broken off Peter. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Base level is that we're not discerning the body around us. Next level is that we understand that this also contains the ability, when you take it with the understanding of what Jesus did on the cross, you can be healed. Amen? We have stories of people in communion at their house, God healing them. It says, verse 31, I'll finish up. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. You know why I think he says that? He's like, because we're supposed to love and the world's supposed to see it. Come on, judge yourself in this. Look at your own hearts, because I want that more than the world going, look at you guys. You talk about this, but you don't even do it. To me, that's being condemned by the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, okay, so why do I know this is all one story? Because he just said it. Therefore, okay, I just told you all these things. Therefore, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. What's he saying? Listen, if you're hungry and you got it all there, man, go home and just have your food. So when you come in, you can have a heart of waiting. You can just let other people go before you. To me, what this looks like is, I think sometimes when we take the body of Christ, A, we can do it in an unworthy manner that we're not even thinking about what we're doing. But I dream of being in that church where when we take communion, we're going to do it to close. That when we, and we're going to do it today, we're going to go into circles. When we look around, heart's cry has to be, Lord, give us discernment with the body of Christ. Who's broken right now? Who is in need? Whose heart is aching? Lord, can I be a part of that solution? Can I go over and lay my hands on them. I was so blessed today. Where's John? John. You know, John, you blessed me by your reaction to my blessing. You said, go over and encourage someone. So I went over and encouraged John, just a simple thing. But it meant, I'll be curious to find out, but he just broke with it. I thought, Lord, oh, it's so cool to be a part of that. I got to be a giver of love today. And John, probably knowing John, would have went over and blessed somebody anyway, but I'm so glad that I could have went over there. I saw it in the spirit, not fully even understanding it, but I went over there and blessed him because I'm in a good place today. I'm just riled up. I'm ready to go. So I got to give. But aren't you thankful there are days when you're like, I just need some love. And somebody else comes and calls you, Erica, right? Calls you on the phone or just comes over and blesses you. This is the body of Christ, discerning the body of Christ. Amen. We take communion today. I want you to go into groups. 3, 4 small groups. Not big, small groups. Somebody's going to lead out. I don't know who that's going to be. Let the body discern who's going to lead. But I'd also like you to look around your group. Maybe you need to look around your group and go, who's not here? Because that's discerning the body too. But just say, hey, anybody need quick prayer? Let's just believe as we take communion for this need. And I'm going to have somebody's going to lead. I will help you walk through it. So get into groups. You know what I'm asking for? You understand what I'm saying? Very quiet today. I'm sure you're just all processing. But go into groups 3, 4, 5. Go with your family. Go with your kids. So go ahead and have somebody lead out. But what I'd like you to do before you take communion together is ask if anybody needs something. Discern in the body who needs prayer and believe with communion for whatever that need is. Go ahead. discerning of the body. As you finish, you can go ahead and sit down and let me know you're done. You don't have to stop. You can finish up. All right, I'm just going to close with a scripture. You know, when you're a preacher, your family gives you so much material that I can't use. But I will use this one because she's not here. Krista's giving me these signals. She's like, so I walk over, I'm like, what? I thought she had something important. She's like, you got to hurry up and close. I got to go to the bathroom. Such a spiritual woman. I'm dead when I get home, but 1 John 3:18, as John's talking about what it looks like to love, he closes with this. He says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I love that. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. So I believe what you did today, you know, I said we do a lot of things out of routine. I wanted to break the routine of just doing communion. I'm so blessed to see people praying for each other. What's the need? How can I bless you? That's breaking the routine. So we don't just go, achoo, bless you. It's not enough. Some of you are laying hands on each other. Hopefully you'll take those prayer requests. Thank you for praying for my family, my girls while they had jaw surgery. The turnaround with prayer was incredible. Honestly, it was a miracle because we thought we were going to for sure have to take one of them to the hospital, back to the hospital. And within 12 hours, she woke up. Megan was the one that was not doing well. She looked at me and she went, good morning. I'm like, holy cow, that was a miracle. They were even out Friday night for a little bit, so thank you for those prayers. So as we leave today, I hope you get my heart in that. Just look, discern the body of Christ, what is needed. And I know we don't rush, we don't have the same establishment where we have a potluck for our supper, our the Lord's Supper. But I do think when we take communion, we gotta be looking around. And so there are some people I would encourage you to call. Some of them get really tired of me calling them. Hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. It might be you that has the key to their life to go, hey, I really miss you. Anything I can do for you? It's not always about getting them back into our church. Sometimes it's just about how are you doing, right? Why don't you stand? We'll close. Lord, we thank you that you are love and you are teaching us to come back to a foundation of strong love. Lord, I pray that as we do this, that you would help us to love those that are difficult to love. And Lord, help us to discern the body to see what is needed. And we thank you for it. I pray that, Lord, everyone would be blessed today as they go. That, Lord, they would have time with their family, conversations with people they love, that they would be built up and edified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.